today we're going to continue our series called Do You Have Power? How many have power today? Anybody have power? That's not enough. How many has power? Anybody have power in the room? All right. How many know? What kind of noise would you make if you touched some power today? Woo! You would know if you have power, right? It's something about, how many remember as a kid when you really didn't know that much about electricity and you stick your hand behind that bed to plug that fan in and, you knew right away the power of electricity at a young age. Am I the only one that did that enough times to know that, you don't touch the socket, And so don't touch the metal before you put the screwdriver in there. It's really not a good thing. And so I remember those times of touching the power, feel like you just see your skeleton going through your body, But we have power that's running, and through this message and through this series, we're talking about the power that God wants to work in our lives. And that there's a power that God wants to connect in us. And we talked about the power of God using us and how He wants to partner with us. Does He have to use me? No. He chooses to use me. And that His design all along is that you and I would partner with Him, that we would stay connected to who He is, connected to His power. And how God wants to use us. We talked about the power of faith, the power of surrender. We talked about learning to give our life in faith and surrender to Christ and who He is and how that connects us. We talked about the power of connection, staying connected to the Holy Spirit, staying connected to God through His people, through the church, through different things that God has for us, through staying the time in His presence, that God has always longed for us to stay connected through His power in our life. Today I want to talk to you about the thought, the power of stewardship. The power of stewardship. Now, today, before we go any further, how many's ever heard the word stewardship? Anybody heard the word stewardship before? How many's ever heard that word stewardship before? Anybody raise your hand? Let's be honest. That's a good thing. This is for you today. I got this video just for you today to show you kind of a little intro to what stewardship means. Once you guys go ahead and reel this, turn it up if you could, please.
Stewardship. It's kind of a churchy word, but what does it mean? This is stewardship plain and simple. Meet John. He loves to play golf, eat Italian, and go to the movies. He has a house, a car, and a job that pays the bills. In his free time, he catches up on the latest game, and he plays his guitar. So here's where stewardship comes in. Everything John has, from his TV, to his car, to even his ability to play guitar. Well, none of it actually belongs to him. Are you ready for this? From the little things, all the way to the big stuff, like his house. It all belongs to God. You're a steward of everything God gave you. It's a privilege, and He expects you to be responsible, not just with your finances, but your time, talents, and toys. So what does it mean to be responsible? Well, like hosting a Bible study at your house, or using your free time to visit someone in the hospital, or how about giving money to an out-of-work friend? It's all stewardship. So when it's time to give back, say the plate gets passed, or the children's minister asks you to serve in the toddler's room again, think to yourself this one simple question. Does what I have belong to me or God?
So that's the power of stewardship. We're talking about the power of stewardship today, and that's the question is, if God's power is not unleashed into our lives, into its fullest, until I see Him as the owner of everything, and me as the steward, that we are all stewards, and God has called everyone to be stewards. And I think that no story that Christ really taught more, that really dealt with this subject, than He did in Matthew chapter 25. This is a long story today, but we're going to read it all because it's very important to the rest of the message today. So all those who are maybe have a hard time paying attention through the reading, long readings, I'm there with you, okay? So you pay attention and help me pay attention, and hopefully I won't lose my place, okay? Let's do it together. Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who has called his own servants and has delivered his goods. That's important to remember. He has delivered his goods to who? To them. And how this Coley says, this is God talking about us, His relationship with us. He's the one who delivers His goods to us. He has delivered His goods to them. And to one of them He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who also had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. This is really key. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, but look, I have gained 2 more back besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money into the bankers. At my coming, I would at least have received back my own with interest. So take the talent. So he take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. That's really fair, isn't it? He takes the one that has one and gives it to the one that has the most. It says, give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will what? Be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not a real fun line to read, is it? He's talking about for those who don't steward what God has given them, that there's going to come a time where you cast in the darkness and there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not a very fun subject to talk about, but it's very true. That every one of us here, we are stewards. And God has placed us. So the question today is this. So are we stewards or are we owners? That's the question we have. Are we stewards or are we owners? And let's talk about this thought. Let's answer this question. First of all, number one, we know God owns it all. God owns it all. Today, through Scripture, we have taught that God owns everything. It all belongs to Him. Look what Psalms 50, verse 10 says. For every beast of the forest is mine, and every cattle on 1,000 hills. And I know all the birds of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the field are what? Are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness. What is His? For the world is mine and what? All its fullness. What's God's? For the world is mine and all its fullness. God's saying this. He goes, if I'm in need, God's saying, if I'm in need, I'm not going to ask you. I'm the one who created this whole thing, man. It all belongs to me. I have the resources. So let's get it straight here. I don't come to you asking you because I'm hungry. Okay? You come to me because I'm the owner of it all. It all belongs to me. This isn't a one-time thing, but we see it continually taught through Scripture. Psalms 24:1 says the earth is what? Is the Lord's. And all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. Psalms 24:1. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says the same thing. Look what it says. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Is there a pattern here we're seeing established? Throughout Scripture, we're seeing a continual talk about how God is establishing that everything belongs to Him. He is the owner. And this is the problem we have, especially as Christians, is that we believe that we're the owner of everything we have. Everything I have belongs to me. I give it back to God. That's not true. It all belongs to Him. And I'm the steward of what He's given me. That we are all stewards. That every one of us here, we are not owners. We are stewards. This is correct. He lets us use His stuff to what? To further the kingdom. Everything He's given me belongs to Him. Well, no, He's not. My husband gave me this diamond on my finger. And God says, I created the coal which that diamond came from, lady. Well, yeah. Well, I built my shop out there from the ground up. I worked hard. And God says, I created the metal that you built that shop with. I created the people to come and buy and consume from you and trade with you and give you money. I created the trees that money was printed on. Come on. I am the creator of everything. It all belongs to me. That's what God's asking. He's telling us, it all belongs to me. I'm the owner of everything. Everything we have, every blessing, whether it be small or large, it all belongs from the Lord. It all comes from Him. And so learning to operate and stay connected to the power of who God is me learning to get my role right, that I am called to be a good steward. I'm the steward. He is the owner. It will change your thinking. It will blow your theory out of the water of how you live your life. But also, it takes a lot of pressure off of me knowing, you know what? It's a lot easier to steward than it is to be owner. You know what I'm talking about here? It's a lot easier to be a steward when you really think about it than it is to be the owner. Because God is what? He's in charge of making sure the stewards have what they have to work with. He's in charge of making sure that everything is going to be okay. The story said that the owner came back after a long time. The owner came back to what? To judge what they had done. We just read this. It says that he had given them all the talents. It says he took a long journey. And finally, he came back to what? To judge what they had done. How many know that the owner has came? And he's given us all different talents. And he's going to be gone for a while. But there's going to come a day again when the owner will come back. God will return to the earth. God will return for those who are Christians. And he's going to judge what have we done with what he's given us. We have to give an account. God, what have we done with the things you have blessed us with? God, what have we done to be stewards of the things you've given me? We're all going to give account for the things that God has given in our life. How do we steward them? How do we use them to advance his kingdom? The owner is coming back. But the problem, I believe, is this. It's kind of like when we are how many here have teenagers or ever had teenagers in your house? Okay. I am blessed. I'm glad my teenagers are in there today. So I can talk about them all day today. This is great. They're in a different class. And so, you know, I have two now in the youth group. And so I got two teenagers and more to come. And there's one thing that I have just realized is, you know, is that teenagers think that, you know, that everything just should be handed to them. You ever thought about that? You ever think that, you know, I'm talking about? They just have a right to everything, don't they? They just think that, you know, this house is theirs and that food is theirs. And they think that they should just be given a cell phone. They should just be given a car. They should just be given new clothes. They should just be given everything. Everything. What? And you ever had this point in your life where you have to sit down with your teenager and say, let me tell you a few things, first of all. This is my house. I make these payments, okay? I let you live here because you're my child and I love you. But let's get one thing straight. This is my house. And you're going to live by my rules, okay? And you're going to do what I tell you as long as you live under what? My roof. Not everything in life is free. And I may be the only parent that makes you pay for their cell phone, but wow, okay? You're going to learn responsibility. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had these talks with your teenager? You know what I'm talking about? I wonder sometimes if God doesn't look at us and say the same thing, you know? Do you not realize this is my house? These are my things, and that you need to learn to follow my rules, and you need to learn to use these things according to a mature Christian way that I've had destined for you to use them. And when you do that, now this is what's awesome, because when my teenagers show responsibility, when they say, Dad, I want to earn money to buy something I want, you know what? They may just work enough to maybe have earned $10, but if that thing costs $20, you know what I'm going to do? Because I love them. I'm going to make up the difference. Say, you know what? You really worked hard. Let me help. I just want to do that. Because why? Because I see their effort, and I want to reward their obedience. I want to reward their heart. There's something about it that God, when he looks at us and we say, God, I don't have it all, but God, I want to learn to do that. God is obedient. And he says, you know, that obedience moves my heart. I want to reward them. I want to bless them. And there's something that happens that we got to get past this teenage mentality, even as Christians, and say, you know what? God owns everything. You know, I got to respect my father's home. I got to respect what he's given me to live in. I got to respect and I got to use it. If my kids tear up the house, you know what happens? Their iPod comes to me and I sell it and I repair the house. Ask them. They will tell you. This is very true. We did a remodel not too long ago when my kids were scuffing around. We had just repaired every hole in the house. We had just painted the walls. We had just textured. And it wasn't one day and we had a booty print about this big through our wall. I said, I can tell whose booty this is, so I can just tell by looking at it. Right there. I didn't do it. And so, guess how they paid for it? We sold their things to help pay for this thing. Because they had to realize that mom and dad just put out a lot of money to repair the house already, and I can't turn around and do this again. And so they're going to think twice about the next time they wrestle in the house, about where they wrestle at, okay? They're going to think twice about putting their brother through the wall. It's a stewardship thing. And we have the same mentality as Christians, that God's looking at us saying, do you realize what I've given you? Are you being responsible stewards of what I've blessed you with? This is mine. God says it's all mine, and I'm allowing you to use it. Use it to the fullest. Use it to the smartest. Grow, mature, and realize that God is wanting us to be good stewards of everything. We will be judged on that. My kids are judged on how they are good stewards. When they do good, steward with what they have, they receive more. When they don't, I take things away. So Scripture says God does with us. God says when we're good stewards, those who are faithful over what? The small and little things. What happens? They are given much more. They're given more. And those who just bury their talent, those who just waste it away, those who don't do anything with it, he says, I take that away from them and I give somebody else who's doing something harder. That's what we do, isn't it? If one of our kids is out busting their tail, working hard in the yard, raking leaves, and picking up the yard, and everybody else is playing on the deck, laying out, getting the tan, who's going to get the reward? I take the reward I was going to give to two or three, and I give it to the one, because they're the one that worked. Isn't that fair? Isn't that a good lesson? God said that's the way he does with us, that those who apply, those who use what he's given us, I reward them even more. And this is what's so cool, is we learned that talents are given to us from the Lord. And so we realize that God is the owner, then I realize that number two, I'm the steward. Very easy, I'm a steward. And we see this here, and we're talking about talents. Of course, we have preached it and used it in so many aspects of our life, of it meaning our actual talents, our ability, our things. And really what the Scripture was talking about when it comes to this particular story, it was talking about a talent. And what a talent meant was money. It was actually meant money. We see in Scripture where denarius is the word we get for a day's wage. Back in the Jewish tradition, they used the word denarius for a day's wage. 300 denarius was a year's wage. They figured you would work 300 days a year, approximately, and so 300 denarius would be a year's wage. And it went up and down with inflation. So it was not a set amount. It was just considered a day's wage, whatever the wage was for that day. It could go up and down according to the economy, but that was a denarius. A talent was 10,000 denarius. 10,000 denarius was considered a talent. And what a talent was, basically what it came down to, is a talent was a lifetime's wage. When they said someone had a talent in money, they were talking about a lifetime's worth of wages. And so we see where he's talking about this, that he gave one a lifetime's worth. Another, he gave two lifetimes worth of wages. And another, he gave five lifetimes worth of wages. Because why? Because different ones have different ability to make more in the steward well with different things that he's given them. But the good news is this, is that we don't have to stay at a one talent. Some of us here, we may just have a one talent right now, possibly. Our ability may be at one talent. I can tell you, I've had some years when I was at a one talent. I mean, know what I'm talking about. We feel like, man, this is just the minimum wage of getting by. But the good news is that if we are faithful into what God gives us, that he will give us more. And you can move from a one talent person to a two talent person. You can move from a two-talent person to a five-talent person. You can move from a five-talent person to a ten-talent person, okay? This is what the ability that God has given us, that we can grow. And this is what I was talking about here when he talked about giving the talents. Look what Deuteronomy 8:18 says. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is who? He, talking about God, it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is in this day. We got to realize this, that God is the owner, I am the steward. And it is he that gives me power to get wealth. Is God against wealth? No, he's not. But what he's against is me being a bad steward of the wealth he gives me. God does not like it when I'm a bad steward of what he gives me. Whether that's a one-talent wealth or it's a five-talent wealth, doesn't matter to God. What matters is how I steward what he gives me. That's what's important to God. How am I stewarding what he has given to me? And if I'm faithful in the small, he says, I'm going to get another talent. It's very simple. And the last question we answer here is, am I a good steward? Am I a good steward? All of us have to answer this question. Am I actually a good steward? He said the bad steward did what? He buried his talent. The bad steward buried his talent. He sat there. He said, man, you could have at least taken this talent and put it in the bank. At least there, at least drawn a little bit of interest. But he just went and buried it. Just didn't do anything with it. You didn't even try. You know that I'm a man who invests and wants a return for what I've given. That's what the person who gave him the talent said. The man, he said, what? He said, man, I expected you to get a return. You know that I get return. I reap where I don't sow. I get return. Everything I do gets a return. You should know that I'm looking for a return. And that's what God's saying to us. He's looking for a return in what he gives us. God is looking for a return. Let me tell you this way. It's a good way to think about it. What's a bank for anyway? What is a bank for? A bank is a place we put our money. Why? So it'll be secure and it will what? It will expand, right? We want to expand it. We don't want to just sit there. We want to at least draw a little bit of interest, no matter how small it may be or how big it may be. We want it to at least expand while it's there. It's safer there than it is sitting in the closet in a shoebox somewhere. So I want it to be there so it can at least begin to expand and grow. I want you to consider this, that you and I are God's bank. That you and I are God's bank, and he's depositing talents into us. He's depositing things into us, and he's expecting you and I to steward and grow what he's given us. The question is, am I a good steward? Or am I a bad steward? Because we've already established that God's the owner, and I'm a steward. So whether or not you say, I'm no steward, yes, you are. You may be a bad one, but you're a steward. Every one of us here, we are stewards. The question is, are we a good one or are we a bad one? What's God going to judge us on? What's God going to say when he looks at us? Were we faithful with the things he's given to us? God is looking for those who are steward. Look what Luke 12:16 says. Another great story that Jesus told. And then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? This guy's got so much crops going on, his barns are just full to the max. So he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater barns. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Now, anytime God calls you a fool, how many know that's a good thing to listen to, okay? Got our attention right here. God says, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those who will, those things which shall be have been provided, so he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. What he was saying was this. He was reprimanding him because he had all this stored up, and then he dies, and there's nothing to do with it. He was like, you're a fool. You stored up all this wealth. Now, does he reprimand him for working hard? Nope. He's not reprimanded for working hard. Does he reprimand him for having a lot of wealth? Nope. He doesn't reprimand him for having a lot of wealth. Does he reprimand him for even tearing down and bigger, building bigger things and having a bigger, expanding his barns? Nope. What's he reprimanded for? He's reprimanded because of the way he used his wealth. Not that he had wealth, but it's the way that he used it. He says, you're a fool because you use it only for yourself. I've given it to you to feed somebody. I've given it to you to help somebody. You got more than enough for you and your family. Now take it and give it away. Use it. That's what he was reprimanded for. Use it for somebody's good. That's why he's blessed us. And God is going to judge us on this fact. If I have one talent, God wants that. If I have five, he expects even more. According to each of his ability. So he's saying, don't hoard it. He's saying, use it. So what's he saying here? He's saying this. He's saying, you're going to be judged. You're not going to be judged on the things God has given us. They want to open my home up to people to bless people. They want to entertain people so I can let them know that Jesus loves them. To build a relationship, to hopefully get them in a church. Do I want to open my home up for Bible study? What is it? God, everything I have belongs to you. Am I being faithful? God, you haven't asked me for 100% of my money, but you've asked me to give 10% of my tithe. Just as a sign of saying, God, I believe in it. Am I faithful in paying my tithe? These are things that God's asked me. How am I doing with my talents, God? How am I doing with my ability? How am I doing? Am I using the things? Well, I teach kids during the week, and I just don't want to watch kids during my church on Sunday. God's giving you that ability. Why aren't you using that? Every so often, you should be using that to help teach and to use, to lead. I just don't have time to lead a group, Pastor. I mean, two times a month. Woo! Think about it. I mean, how ridiculous does that sound? God, I was gonna lead something, but God, oh, two times a month? Woo, that was too much. I just didn't have time. I was going to interfere with my DVR time. I got all these shows. I got to catch up on Lost all this week. I just can't do it. It doesn't make sense. That's a bad steward. God says to those who are faithful in the small, He gives much. We've got to, listen, there's a power in stewardship. Stewarding our life. Stewarding the time God has given me. Stewarding the relationships God's given me. Stewarding the finances God's given me. Stewarding the things God's given me. Stewarding my job. Stewarding things. I am accountable to God. And when I steward these things according to God's plan, He blesses me and gives me more. And when I don't, He says, I'll take that thing away, that blessing away, and I'll give it to somebody else. So this is the power of stewardship. This power of connecting with God and saying, God, everything I have belongs to Your kingdom to be used of You. But today, Ted, why don't you go ahead and come. Today, as we close out the service, this power of stewardship today, it's something that hits us all right in the face. I mean, I'm preaching to everybody here today, myself and you included, every one of us here. This is for all of us because we're all very possessive of our things, aren't we? I mean, we learned that from the time we were very young. It's mine. That's the first words out of our mouth. It's almost mine. 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 That's the way we naturally are. We're people who, He's a mine. And God says, no. No. It's mine. You're just using it from me, on loan from me. I'm blessing it with you. I tell you, when you change your thinking and say, God, yeah, everything I have belongs to You, Lord. There's a growth that'll happen in your life. There's a new power you can walk in. There's a new faith you can walk in. There's a blessing. Man, you can go from a one-talent person to a two-talent person to a three-talent. I mean, it's endless. Even in talents, when we see in Scripture where some were given silver talents and some were given gold talents. And gold was worth 10 times as much as silver. So, I mean, there was always these different levels of talents that God was giving out. God's giving out different levels of talents, and it's those who steward it well, God gives more. Plain and simple. You want to change to your talent level? You want to change the way you operate? You want to change the power level you have in your life? I dare you begin to steward after the way God wants you to steward. I dare you get up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, I'm going to work the same way I'd work if God was my boss, because God is my boss. And so I'm going to approach that tomorrow. I'm going to approach my job tomorrow as God's my boss. I'm just a steward. I'm going to approach my house tonight when I get home. I'm going to clean it because it's God's house. Get your kids up, get them going, help you clean the house. Take good care of the house. Say, you know what, I'm going to steward this house. This is God's property. We can go on and on and on and on. These are things of the things of the Lord. Let's steward them well. Let's steward them well because there's power in being a good steward. God blesses that. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, well, I thank You to God. You are the owner and we are the steward. This is a hard thing for us to comprehend many times because we feel like we've earned it and we deserve it. But God, just like we have to teach our teenagers, God, the same principle You have to teach us that really, God, You really are the owner. You really are the owner, and You're the one who has blessed us with the business we have. You're the one who has blessed us with the job we have. And if I'll be faithful in this, even if it's a small thing, God, I know that You'll reward me for bigger things. God, I've seen it so much. Today, if you're here, before we go any further, if you're here, say, Pastor, you're talking about giving your life to God and serving God. But first of all, I need something to say right now. I need to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord of my life. I need to ask Him to come into my heart, forgive me my sins. I need to steward that first part of my life before I do anything else. I need to make sure that I'm in right relationship with Jesus, that heaven's my home. Today, no one's looking around, and I will not embarrass you in any way. But today, with every head bowed, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, today I want to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. Or maybe you prayed that prayer before a long time ago and you say, Pastor, today I want to come back and I want to renew that because I haven't been living for God for a long time. Today, I want to renew my relationship with Him. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus today. Can you raise it where you're at? I want to see it. Make sure I see it. Give you that chance today. Anybody here? That's okay. No one. Thank you. Anybody else that you want to join this person today? Raise your hands. That's me. Let's say this prayer together. Let's all repeat this prayer, and especially those who raised their hand. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I confess you as Lord of my life, and I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say welcome to the family of God, and you meant it, man. Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, give me a hand clap. It's just the beginning. It's not the end, but it's just the beginning of a new walk with Jesus today. And it's a journey. And today, before you leave, we have a special thing in the back for you. We have a packet that's got a free Bible and some other material to tell you to help you along with your decisions you make next. So make sure you stop in the back and get one of those before you leave. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet today. How many today, just keep your heads looking at me, your eyes looking at me, say, Pastor, today I want God to be the owner and I want to be the steward. Anybody here say, Pastor, God's challenging me to be a good steward? Boy, yeah, I mean, I tell you, even in my own life, I see things in my life that God's asking me to be good stewards. But I quit worrying about things. Say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to give you the things you've asked me to give. I'm going to give you what you've asked me to do. I'm going to be obedient to do that. And when I do that, God, I'm knowing that you're in control. And God, you're going to come back and judge me to be what? Faithful. He says, then when he says he judged those who had given their talents, notice what he says at the very end. He says, then now you who are good and faithful servant, enter into what? The joy of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's a joy when you come to this mindset that God's in control, that God's the owner. There's a new joy. It takes the burden off of you and say, God, you're in control of it anyway. I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to walk because you're the owner and I'm just a manager. I'm just a steward. And God, I'm going to manage what you've given us. I'm going to steward what you've given to me. And God, you're in control of it. Man, until I'm taking the pressure off of you, it will take a mental pressure off of you when you're alone that God is in control and that you're just stewarding what he's given to you. I want to pray for those who raised their hands today. Father, right now, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have been blessed, Lord. You have blessed your people with so much, God. You've allowed us, Lord, to have your things, Lord, to use your things. And the most important reason you give us these things is that we steward it in advancing the kingdom of God. That's what you've asked us to do. All through Scripture, it talks about us using our things to advance the kingdom of God. And so, God, right now we pray that, God, our mindset would change, that we would see, Lord, that everything we have belongs to you. Every property we have, it belongs to you. Every paycheck I get, it belongs to you. Everything I own, it belongs to you. Every dream I have, it belongs to you. Every ability I possess, it belongs to you. God, everything I have, it belongs to you. You are the owner, and God, I am the manager. I'm the steward. And Father, I thank you, God, that you are changing our minds. And as we learn this process, God, that there's a new power we're going to walk in. There's a power, a new freedom, Lord, that is released there through obedience and allowing you to be in control of our life. And Father, I thank you, God, because you are a faithful God. And Lord, may you come back to judge us faithful, that we can enter good and faithful servants into the joy of the Lord. And we say amen together. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here today. Remember, Wednesday night, we have John 3:16 study going on here at 7 o'clock. Thanks for the whole family. But shake a hand before you leave and tell someone you was glad to see them today.